listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast. 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. Action-packed hour on Tuesday, day after the championship game. For you, and that's what we're going to do, talk about what we learned yesterday. We could be, quite frankly, talking history with Clemson, and we'll do that from a Vegas perspective. Also, NFL coaching hires, what does it tell us about the direction the league is moving? Also, early NFL playoff looks, and we got the guy for it. He's a pro who knows, Steve Fezzik, NFL expert. All the college knowledge, Brad Powers. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, on Straight Out of Vegas. And we start with the Bay Area beatdown as Clemson hammered Alabama 44-16 last night. The second national championship for head coach Dabo Swinney and the worst loss in Nick Saban's Alabama career. So, RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on the dominating performance from the Tigers?
Wow, just think for a minute. Whenever you hear the word lock, right, in our business, sports betting information, if you hear the word lock, be scared. Because what does lock imply? It means it's a sure thing, easy money. Bet the house, bet the car, bet the kids, as some would say. Not me, others. Now, Brad, how many points did Alabama lose by?
28.
Okay. Now, imagine, and be honest with yourself, imagine someone offered you Alabama yesterday plus 27.5 points. How much would you have bet? The house, the car?
Everything I had.
The kids?
Yeah.
And you would have lost. Now, obviously, I don't know, Fez, plus 27.5. 95%+, right?
I think 98.
Yeah, but it's not a lock. So whatever you do, and it brings up another question. Whatever you do first, understand there's no locks, right? Number two, what should the line have been yesterday? Meaning, I'm not saying what would we make it today. We're going to talk about that actually in a minute if these teams replayed. But I'm saying the line was wrong, I'm sure, but I'm not sure it was that wrong, and I'm pretty sure, in fact, I'm certain Clemson shouldn't have been a double-digit favorite in that game. So results oftentimes are very random across a spectrum of possible results. If these teams played 10 times, Bama's winning multiple times. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So the idea that, oh, in hindsight, that line should have been no. The line was probably wrong. The line should have been, and let's talk about it now. Brad, if these teams, and I think this is going to shock people. Everyone guess right now, if Alabama and Clemson played in 10 days, what would you think the point spread in Vegas should be? Brad, what would you make the number?
Pick them.
Yep. So the line was 5.5 Clemson. You're going to upgrade Clemson 3 points, downgrade Alabama 2.5, some variation, yep, and get it to pick them. Fezzik, what would you say your line is?
Independently, pick them.
All right. So on one hand, there's two different ways to react to that. On one hand, you could say, wait a minute, the team that just devastated Bama, you're telling me I could bet them at even money to do it again? Probably. I think that's, you guys are probably about right. And then on the other hand, you could be saying, wait a minute, one game is adjusting things by almost 6 points? And that's an important point. There's no NFL game ever, ever that's going to adjust the line, I mean, other than injury, even close to 6 points. Just never. And it goes to show you, we know so little about these college football teams. In the NFL, there's only 16 games, but there's 16 competitive games. Even a 14-point favorite against Arizona is competitive, right? We saw, in fact, Buffalo is a 16.5-point favorite, beat Minnesota this year. They're competitive games. How many games did, and Brad, you had the stat here yesterday, neither Clemson nor Alabama had played a single game that the spread was single digits.
Yep, not a single one.
Every game they were double digits. Yep. So they had borderline a few competitive games and that's it.
Yeah, the whole team had maybe a couple competitive games, but from a point spread, neither team had been laying single digits until yesterday's game.
So we learn, it's almost like the third game of an NFL season. You can learn a lot because you don't know much about these teams. Even though it's the last game of the year, we don't know, we didn't know very much about Alabama and Clemson. And quite frankly, this one game doesn't tell us a massive amount, right? It tells us Clemson's better than we thought and Alabama's not as good as we thought, but it doesn't tell you a lot more than that. And I think it's important to realize that. And whenever you get lost with that concept, think about basketball. Think about the Lakers the year they played the 76ers, you know, with Kobe and Shaq. And that first game with AI, I tend to remember, I think the line was like 12.5, and the Sixers won. Now imagine if it was a one-game series. Oh, that Laker team was overrated, right? Well, they won the next four. Now, it doesn't mean Bama would win the next four. It just means that yesterday was one game. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, breaking down what we should take away from the national championship game. All that said, Brad, in our production meeting, there was discussion of maybe, and I'm going to say it in a slightly affected voice to show my disapproval, maybe the dynasty's over for Bama. That came out of your mouth.
No, that's
make some thoughts.
No,
give us some
that's
thoughts.
What I've heard from the media. Maybe the dynasty's over.
Oh, you were just regurgitating.
Yeah, I'm saying
something you didn't agree with.
No, we have now not one dynasty, Alabama. Now we have two dynasties in college football. That was my takeaway.
Well, let me ask you a few questions.
Yep.
How many national titles does Nick Saban have?
Six.
And how many with Bama?
Five.
I was at that LSU Oklahoma game, so I remember that one. Okay. And Clemson, how many?
Two.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. So here's the thing. You also, in production, were talking about some variation of, you know, Sweeney's, it's kind of like a family with those guys. And with Saban, it's so mercenary. You want to explain your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Saban has really been struggling with a lot of turnover, particularly staff turnover. Seven different offensive and defensive coordinators in the last 4 years. You can only have eight different ones. Only one guy has stayed on for multiple seasons. Clemson, that's complete opposite. They've had the same offensive and defensive coordinators each of the last 4 years.
So doesn't that make the case that what Alabama has done is even more amazing, that one day Clemson is going to look back, let's assume Sweeney's there in 15 years, and say, wow, it was so much easier when the confluence of events allowed us to keep our key coordinators and we had continuity. And oh, by the way, wasn't it nice when we had Deshaun Watson as a quarterback? Because how many national titles did Sweeney have before Deshaun Watson?
Zero.
And he was, wasn't his first year, right? I mean, how many years has he coached at Clemson?
He's been there since 2008.
Okay. Now, there's some amazing stats with Sweeney. Last 7 years, and you've been driving Brad Powers these numbers, they've been in bowl games and playoff games 9 times in 7 years. All right. Well, actually, 10 times, right? But one of them, they were a favorite. Nine times. They've been underdogs, Clemson. They're 8-1 against the spread. That's amazing. But 7 times they've won outright. Now imagine you're playing at the highest level, playoff games. Vegas, and we'll bet you that we're right, said, Clemson, you're supposed to lose 9 times. And 7 times they said, no, thank you. We're going to put the W on the board. Now, that's impressive.
Yep.
But it's been with pretty much the same coordinators, right?
Yep.
And it's been with Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. And now it's with Trevor Lawrence, a guy, a player, a quarterback that I heard Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio, maybe the biggest voice in radio, saying he's better prospect, Trevor Lawrence, than Andrew Luck. That this is the best prospect he's seen since John Elway. Now, I'm not sure about any of that, but the fact that we're saying the best prospect since John Elway and Deshaun Watson and continuity with coordinators for Clemson, and they got 2 titles, but somehow we're going to say, well, let's exalt their style, but over there with Saban, oh, he's got 6 titles, but somehow his process, because he lost this game, is less. It seems like it takes Clemson a perfect storm of a super elite quarterback, because I think we would agree Deshaun Watson's better than any Alabama quarterback.
Yep.
Right? And Trevor Lawrence is better than any Alabama quarterback.
He's better than Tua last night, so I agree.
All right. And they've got 2 titles. Saban's never had any of that, never had continuity, and he's got 6. Yeah. So, listen, let's give Clemson a ton of credit, right? And maybe they're one of the best teams ever, and we can talk about that in a second. But I tell you, it seems to me if we're going to talk about systems, if we're going to talk about who's the better coach, I think we should exalt that Sweeney's created this idyllic, this consistent place where there's a sense of family. But boy, if that doesn't continue, what's the odds of that continuing, I think is going to be difficult. Whereas those coordinators, I mean, the Alabama coordinators didn't leave with a lateral job.
No, they left to become head coaches.
Right? So at some point, you know, you're going to see the same thing happened at Clemson. Now, can he do that? And then with the 5th coordinator, 6th coordinator, can he do that? Without having a all-time great quarterback, can he do it? Mm. And you might say, well, he's able to recruit those guys. We know there's a roll of the dice with that stuff. So on one hand, I want to tip my cap to Clemson and how good they are and how good and impressive that performance was yesterday. But I would make the case. I would make the case that if you look at what Saban's done and the challenges he's faced doing it versus Sweeney, it's not even a contest. Brad, agree, disagree?
I agree with that. Look, I'm not saying Sweeney's better than Saban by any stretch, but I am saying that Sweeney's getting close, especially when you got one guy in Urban Meyer leaving college football. It's nice to have another guy that's close to Saban.
When you guys see how a game like that shapes up, in which Alabama's, you know, starts out a 9-point favorite in some spots and they get blown out by multiple scores, do you guys find it more difficult to handicap a 1-game championship game or game 1 of a 7-game series?
Well, I mean, to me, if you're good at what you do, it doesn't matter what it is. I want as many reps as possible, right? So Fezzik, you know, grew up in chess clubs and such. No one's, listen, no one's judging it, right? I've used to play chess, but I still do, but I just never was one to go to chess clubs, right? Because I didn't want to have to fight my way home. And but Fez would beat me in more than 50% of chess game. But if you said play 1 game against Fez, my chance of beating Fez at chess is much greater than if we played a best of 11 or a race to 12 wins or something. So in general, as professionals, we think we have an edge. History says we have an edge. So Jonas, we want as many reps as we can get, as many cracks at the opportunity as we can get. Speaking of that, when we come back, we're going to tell you from a Vegas perspective where Clemson fits amongst the all-time greatest college football teams.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Right out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will talk about the historical significance of Clemson's win over Alabama.
We have fun every weekday bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 60 degrees. 60 degrees in January. Living the dream. The neon is flowing.
So, RJ, coming off the big win for Clemson last night in the national championship game, everybody is wondering if Clemson were to stack up against some of the great teams in years past, how would they do? What does Vegas say?
Well, Brad, you're the youngster here, all the college knowledge. How many years have you been making power ratings?
Me personally, last five years.
Okay. Where's Clemson rank?
Number one in the last 5 years.
Number one in the last 5 years. All right. Now, as a fan, not with your exact rankings, let's say the BCS era, 1998 onward, let's say, where do you rank this year's Clemson champion team?
Two behind the 2001 Miami team.
Okay. Now, that's the Miami team that the next year lost to the Buckeyes, if
yep.
I recall.
Yep.
Very well officiated game, I thought.
Yeah.
That's a personal opinion. You know what's funny? You know who the D-backs coach in Miami was? Mark Stoops.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, watch the film on that. He went wild on that call, let's just say. I was at that game. All right. Now, I'm a little confused. Clemson, best team of the last 5 years, you're saying, in your power rankings. Second best team in your opinion in the BCS era since 98, so 98 onward. But you're saying this Bama team that just got embarrassed would be pick'em against them, which means everything we just said about Clemson, we can say about Bama. Second best team in the BCS era. The team we saw last night, Alabama, is the second best team of the BCS era.
Yep. I can
Boy,
say
you didn't even want to say it.
No. You got to consider the previous 14 games where everyone considered them to be
Except
historically.
What did, let's look back. What did we see in those 14 games? Because I got to tell you this, stubbornness in the face of, let's say, convention, like everyone wants you to say something, but you refuse to. I respect that. Stubbornness in the face of facts, not so much. It's hard to make money that way. I was feeling as if you were pretty stubborn about Georgia, right? And Georgia gets dominated by a, you know, above average Texas team, physically dominated. And your response, and you know, I'm not going to try to imitate your voice, but it was some variation of, you know, did you see that Alabama game? Well, in hindsight now, we just saw Bama should have lost to a Georgia team that just got manhandled by Texas. It's like, what wins of Alabama gives us any confidence, really? Not that this is not a good team, a top five team this year. You're saying they're the second best team in the last 20 years. The team that just got dominated by 28 points.
Yeah, I think LSU was very good.
Do you notice his voice is like way low?
29-0 over LSU. I would say, I mean, Oklahoma.
What did LSU have, five losses?
No, three. One to Alabama, and they won 10 games, LSU did.
Go ahead.
I mean, Georgia won 11 games. That's still a really good win. Oklahoma's a really good win. Mississippi State's a good win.
I mean, if we're debating, is Alabama a top seven team this year, that all makes sense. Fez, I got to bring you into this. After a couple weeks, you thought the Rams were the best team of the decade. Literally, like week three, I said, what do you think the true odds are on the Rams to win the Super Bowl? And it was like plus 250 or something. And I said, wait a minute, there hasn't been a team in the last decade with odds that, I guess, good, you could say, that they were such a favorite to win the Super Bowl. You're like, yep. So, like, it seems like that because of the 24-hour news cycle, because of the I think seem boring in 6 hours. I mean, if you're really plugged in, if you're on Twitter, if you're really plugged in, something happens. Oh my gosh, can you believe it? And then literally a couple hours later, it's like, old news, right? Like literally even 15 years ago, you probably wouldn't have heard it yet. And now it's old news. I mean, I don't care what it is. Like, I mean, I'm sure there could be some things, right? But like, what is the longest news story we've had in sports, in politics, in the last, let's say, 2 years? Meaning, has any story been at the forefront of our minds for over a week?
That last big one is probably Trump winning the presidency.
Yeah, and that was a big story, but it quickly went to, okay, what's he going to do? People's coming to Trump Tower. Romney's having dinner with him. So it's like, to me, we're constantly having to embrace, or at least we're searching out for stimulus. And because of that, we want to make we want everything to be jacked up. It's like we want to put Tabasco sauce on everything so it has an extra zing or a zest. Like in a 20-year period, there's going to be one team that's the best team. But we want to have the best team in the last 20 years every year. I really believe as handicappers, as we see the public in the marketplace overreact. I mean, if you put that Alabama resume up, and say, this is the best team or the second best team in the last 20 years, tied with Clemson. It seems ludicrous.
Yeah, but prior to that game, RJ, they're the first team since like 1896 Penn to win their first all 12 games of the regular season by 20 points or more.
Which brings up the point of who they really play.
And I think maybe we got...
And they didn't beat that Oklahoma by 20 points or more.
No, they didn't.
The team that Army tied and went to overtime with.
I think we may have been fooled by what a great bully Alabama was with that great offense that they could crush teams 50-10 instead of winning 35-3.
I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, trying to create a historical perspective on Clemson and Alabama. Now, Sagarin, USA Today, well-respected. He's got his power ratings. There's no prisoner of the moment with these computer algorithms. What does it say?
Has Clemson, this year's Clemson team, number 7 in the last 21 years.
And where's this year's Alabama team?
It would be number 8, just slightly below.
Really? Yeah. So Sagarin's numbers back up both of you guys, Fezzik and Brad, you both believe the power, or I'm sorry, if these teams played again, Clemson, Alabama, in a week, 10 days, the game would be pick 'em.
Yep.
And Sagarin's pretty much saying the same thing.
Yeah, he's got Clemson by almost 1 point.
Okay, but right there.
Yep.
Wow. Do you think the Rams are one of the best team of the decade now, Fez?
I think I've got the Rams rated number 3, tied with 4 other teams right now this year, RJ.
All right. Now, speaking of missteps, mistakes, listen, we're not afraid to take our bows when we win, right? So we've got to face facts when we don't. Fez, tell us about your prop bet yesterday.
Yes. So I had the Clemson running back ETN under 83 rush yards. It all looked so good. Going into Clemson's last drive, he had 30 rush yards. Clemson's up 28. I don't even think he's going to play anymore. Oh, he's out there. That's fine. And they're running out the clock, 7 yards, 2 yards. I'm going to win this bet. And all of a sudden, what's this? ETN breaks free on his very last rush. He gained 38 yards to put him at 86. I personally had under 85.5. I lost big. After that run, they high-fived him and they took him out of the game.
Now, all joking aside, have you looked at the updated stats? Because sometimes after the game, they'll change those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't.
Did you look?
Yes.
All right. So you would think, okay, Fez loses one. Brad Powers, how'd you do?
Depending on what line you got.
How'd you do?
Well, I gave out Tua Tagovailoa completions over 21.5. But I think a lot of people got 22, 22.5. Here's what happens. Tua's breezing. I mean, Alabama getting blown out is perfect for mine. What is
he's going to throw?
He's going to throw every down. And he gets there. He gets to 22. So some people won. Most people pushed. Some people even lost. And he gets taken out of the game with 12 minutes
left.
Okay,
so it fell 22. What was your buy price on the show yesterday?
21.5.
Okay. I saw a lot of people on Twitter talking about losing.
A lot of people did not get that.
What was your number?
My number?
Yeah.
21.5.
All right.
I snuck in.
Hey, kids, shop yes. for your numbers.
The only monster here is the gambling monster that has enslaved your mother. I call him Gamblor, and it's time to snatch your mother from his neon claws.
That's for you, Fez.
Thank you.
When we come back in just a minute, we're going to be talking about what do the NFL coaches hired so far tell us about the direction of the NFL.
That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Steve DeSager.
So much to get to. Cliff Kingsbury finalized a deal to become Cardinals' new head coach. News conference tomorrow. He's ex of Texas Tech, was recently hired as a USC assistant, and leaves already. He did meet with the Jets last night, but then Arizona today. The Jets have talked to Tampa Bay offensive coordinator Todd Monken. He's the sixth Jets interview for their vacancy. The Bucs will hire Bruce Arians to be head coach on a four-year deal. Reportedly, he wants Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich on his staff at Tampa Bay. Dirk Cutter, ex of the Bucs, is offensive coordinator in Atlanta again. The Browns had a second interview with Vikings offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski for Cleveland's head coach vacancy. NFL Network says Freddie Kitchen, the Browns' own offensive coordinator, is the other finalist. Jacksonville interviewed Daryl Bevel, ex of Seattle, for its vacant offensive coordinator's job. The Houston Texans star running back Lamar Miller was added to the Pro Bowl roster, replacing the injured Philip Lindsay of Denver. University of Texas wide receiver Lil Jordan Humphrey declared for the NFL draft. Vikings assistant Adam Zimmer, son of Minnesota's head coach, will run the West squad at the East-West Shrine Game in Florida. Panthers assistant Sam Mills III, son of the late linebacker, will coach the East. The NFL playoffs resume Saturday. Colts will be at top-seeded Kansas City. Chiefs wide receiver Sammy Watkins returned to practice on a limited basis today. Last night's national title game in college football, a blowout, got a 14.6 rating for ESPN, down 13% from last season. AP's final poll has Clemson and Alabama 1-2, then Ohio State, Oklahoma, and number 5 Notre Dame. LSU moved up to number 6, Texas number 9. In the NBA tonight, Phoenix, losers of 6 straight, will host Sacramento. Devin Booker, averaging 25 points a game for the Suns, was likely out for tonight due to back spasms, according to his coach today. Kings first rounder Marvin Bagley out as they're resting him. He just returned Monday from 11 games off due to a knee injury. Toronto hosts Atlanta. The Raptors virtually tied for first in the East with idle Milwaukee. Denver's at Miami. The Nuggets are first in the Western Conference, a game ahead of the Warriors. Golden State has one of the late games hosting New York. The Knicks are 10-30. The Rockets say guard Chris Paul will miss another 2 to 3 weeks with his bad hamstring. Back to you.
Thanks, Steve. We are straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have Best Bets, your opportunity to make a little bit of coin on a Tuesday night. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Las Vegas, RJ Bell.
I got to tell you, Jonas, is I think before we move on, we got to give some credit where credit's due, right? Fez lost his prop. He's crying. We're laughing at him. Now, if you bet it, laugh and cry at the same time. It's the only thing you can do. Brad's kind of looking all smug because he won by a half completion. But the best handicapper of them all was a fellow named Tripp out of Raleigh, North Carolina. So yesterday we had Pick Graffiti. What's that? 11 words or less. Like you're doing graffiti on a brick wall. Give us your pick. A lot of it was awesome. Some of it at the end, not so good. I blame producer Lee for that, but I don't want to say, oh, wait, never mind. Not really, but maybe, no. But let's give Lee and Tripp a ton of credit. This was the best handicap possible in the game. Let's listen.
Clemson wins. Why? Clemson's wide receivers are better than Bama's secondary.
Now that's it. Yeah, I mean, it's like he should Costanza style, drop the mic, walk out, can't do anything else. We'll keep Pick Graffiti going. Maybe we'll do it. Certainly we'll do it for the Super Bowl, but we'll probably do it before that even. Last thing on this college football, next year's odds already out. I'm RJ Bell straight out of Vegas, and here's the odds straight out of Vegas. Now, it's fascinating. Before the game here in Vegas at the Westgate, Alabama was plus 150 next year. So 100 wins you 150. They were the favorite. Clemson plus 350. 100 wins you 350. So you're getting over double the payout if you had picked Clemson before the game. Before the game. After the game, Clemson, the favorite to win next year's title with Trevor Lawrence back. And they're plus 175. Bama dropped from plus 150 to plus 250. So I got to be honest with you, refresh my memory. In any year that Bama has been eligible to win it, meaning they hadn't been eliminated, right? When's the last time Brad Bama wasn't the favorite to win the title?
Oh, my goodness. Maybe 2010, 11? It's been a long time.
I mean, think about that. Think about that.
And Bama was around minus 180 in November this year, RJ. And now you can get them plus 250. I think you know where I'm going after the show ends.
Yeah, and they adjusted the odds because of that result. But I would argue that result was more of a positive for Alabama for next year because that focuses their entire offseason program. You don't think Nick Saban's going to have that playing that game on repeat in the weight room?
But here's the thing. Think about this a second. Trevor Lawrence. Now, Colin Cowherd, who, in my opinion, and I'll be honest with you, we call, there's no sacred cows here, no sacred cow herds, no sacred cows. When we think Colin's wrong, in fact, I always tell him I enjoy nothing better than critiquing him when I genuinely think he's wrong, because we're going to get a lot of attention, especially if we're right. Now, let me ask you guys a question. And Jonas, you have your finger on the pulse of talk radio. You're doing hours and hours. I mean, you got a Saturday night show. When's that run from?
Midnight to 3 a.m. 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Friday into Saturday. Sunday morning, 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific time. And then later on, 5 to 8 Pacific time p.m. Yeah.
Wow.
There's a lot.
And who's your guest host or your co-host on Sunday afternoon?
Oh, what the hell is that guy's name? God, I see. Oh, Brady Quinn.
Welcome to Mirage, Mr. Papa Giorgio.
So, I mean, this guy's doing so many hours. Like, sometimes it's like, you know, I feel like I got to keep talking and let Jonas save his voice for the weekend. But you benefit from that. You're taking calls, you know, all kind of feedback. How much conversation entering yesterday's game was about Trevor Lawrence?
A lot of it was about Dabo Swinney making the choice to go to Trevor Lawrence. He must have seen something, and he's a really, really talented guy. But once you do what he did last night on that type of stage, then we enter into the realm of if he'd come out this year, he'd be the number one pick. And I don't know how...
Are you mocking Colin Cowherd right now?
I'm just saying, like, let's go... So let's
wait a little bit. You're refusing to answer the question?
Let's wait a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
So you're saying Colin's wrong. Jonas?
I would say that it's kind of a reach at this point. I'll put it that
Colin's
way.
Colin's reaching for attention,
yes,
perhaps,
reaching,
you think?
Reaching. I don't think he needs
for
any
retweet,
more attention.
You think Colin's looking for retweets?
I don't think he needs any more followers, retweets, or attention, but I do think he is reaching a little bit.
But, Brad, we were talking about Trevor Lawrence for, what, 30 seconds yesterday?
Yep.
And your take was, oh, maybe a point and a half upgrade or two, if I'm remembering from the other quarterback.
Yep, from Tua.
No.
Kelly Bryant.
Kelly Bryant,
you didn't think
yeah.
there was any. You didn't think Trevor Lawrence was better than Tua.
No. I meant upgrade for Tua compared to Lawrence because we were talking about the rosters.
But what I'm saying is Trevor Lawrence compared to the quarterback that started the year for Clemson.
Yeah, just
you were saying a nice upgrade, but nothing major.
Yep.
And now we're saying, legitimately, Colin Cowherd is saying the best prospect since John Elway. Now, if he's the fifth best prospect since John Elway, the 10th best prospect, that's still a hugely different conversation than what we were having 24 hours ago. So to me, this is a rare case where the major adjustment, Clemson being 3.5 to 1, and now they're below 2 to 1, plus 175, makes sense because we fundamentally have a different idea about their quarterback. Went from being, I mean, if I would have said entering yesterday, where's Trevor Lawrence 1 to X of all the quarterbacks in college football last year? I'm guessing you would have had 12th, 15th, 18th.
Yeah, 10th. The yeah. first number it came to mind.
It's generous, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, and now entering, or let's say this year, reevaluate. Keep the Oklahoma quarterback. Whatever. Where is he? What you saw yesterday.
Oh, what I saw yesterday? I'd have 3 or 4 guys ahead of him still. Because to me, it was what the handicap trip from North Carolina said. It was about a lot of those receptions were the wide receivers making plays, not necessarily great throws by Trevor Lawrence.
Didn't we learn our lesson from Cardale Jones? Everybody was calling him a first-round Cardale Jones. Everybody was calling him a first-round prospect after he won the Big Ten title game, the semifinal in the national championship. He stayed back in school, looked mediocre week one against Virginia Tech, and then next thing we know, he's being drafted in the 5th round, and I have no idea where he's playing now.
I don't understand why Jonas is killing Colin like that.
I mean, it's got to be done.
You're not going to start talking about like locks and stuff they have over at the Fox TV line.
No, I stay away from that. I'm not trying to do
that. Well, listen, let's make sure we know it's Jonas Knox who's killing Colin. It's RJ who's friends with Colin. And by the way, we do a podcast every Friday. This Friday, breaking down all the NFL games. Speaking of that, in just a minute, we are going to give you a first look, a first handicap. Fez, do we have an early best bet?
We do.
Wow. Not just a first look, an early best bet line mover, NFL playoffs next.
That's coming up next here on Straight Outta Vegas. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell. And this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. We turn our attention to college basketball, where tonight, number one Duke is on the road at Wake Forest. That's tipping off in less than 15 minutes from now. And Duke is a 20.5-point road favorite on pregame.com.
And we've got Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Now listen, as football phases out, we're going to talk about the biggest college basketball games, the biggest NBA games. That's it, though. We're not going to be talking. I don't care what you say, Brad. You can threaten whatever you want. We're not going to be talking, oh, Duquesne is in an interesting back-to-back spot. But this one with the Dukies is a big one, and you like it.
Yeah, I do. I like Wake Forest plus 20.5. I have bet Wake Forest plus 20.5. Mentioned Duke's on the road. Out of 353 Division I teams, Duke is the only one until this game that has not played a true road game yet this season. The final team to do it. And what team relies more?
So a true road game is in home games, obviously, not true road games, but also these tournament games.
All these tournament neutral site games. And Duke, major question mark here, because who relies on youth, freshmen, more than Duke? I'd argue no one else in the country. So major question mark for Duke is how are these primetime players going to handle a road atmosphere for the first time? And I think this is a stronger point. What I find a lot of times this time of year is everyone's transitioning from college football to college basketball. So what does Joe Public better do? They haven't been following college basketball. They bet on the teams that they know, the big brands, the Dukes, the Kentuckys, the Kansases. And a lot of times they're going to see number one next to Duke, already a big name, getting a little pricey with Duke here, not only in this game, but moving forward throughout the month of January.
Good analysis from Brad Powers. And it's surprising. When I do about a dozen radio segments a week across the country, and literally on July 4th every year or around there, I do about 6 minutes on the hot dog eating contest at Nathan's, because it really is, and Jonas is a better yourself, you know this, people, if you're looking to bet that night, that day, you bet the best thing, right? If it's hot dogs, you bet hot dogs. Right? If it's the Super Bowl, you bet the Super Bowl. But literally, it just matters what's the biggest event tonight. And now that college football is over, a lot of bettors are going to start segueing into college basketball, and they are going to be more square. They are going to be driven more by public perception. And obviously, Duke is Duke.
It is a Tuesday tradition here on Straight Outta Vegas. We get an early best bet and line movement prediction from Steve Fezzik. On the year, Steve Fezzik with his picks, 10-2-1, predicting the line move, 9-1-3. So, Fez, where are we at this week?
I mean, think about that, Fez. In front of the world, you're telling people, it's like a magician, telling people the way the line moves, telling people what to bet. On Tuesday, it's been great. But you did lose your prop bet. And it just goes to show you in this game we play how important it is to be, let's just say, persevere.
I got tiger scratches on my back from 20 years in this business. Let me tell you something. If you want to survive, you either got to fight the tiger or you got to dance with the tiger.
All right, Fez.
Is that Siegfried and Roy?
We're gonna dance with the Colts here, with the Indy Colts plus 5.5 at Kansas City. Two teams going in opposite directions. The Colts, since week 6, we can easily make the argument they have been the best team in the NFL. They're certainly number one in terms of scoring differential. And Kansas City, frankly, has not been the same since that game against the Rams that they lost 51-54, 1-4-1.
Let me ask you a question about the Chiefs. How much of this is Kareem Hunt's absence?
Oh, I think it's big because the number two running back, Spencer Ware, simply has not been 100%. So they're really been trotting out their number three running back. And Ware may play this week, but he won't be 100%.
Okay, so you're saying since Hunt's been out, Ware's been limited.
Yes.
So it's not just dropping from one to two. It's dropping from one to a hobble two.
Correct.
And is that the driver, you think? I mean, it's not like Kansas City's defense is getting any worse. Andy Reid historically, it feels like his schemes have been caught up to as seasons progress. Do you think there's some of that too?
I think Tyreek Hill has been hobbled and has been playing at 85%, so that's hurting the offense as well. And frankly, the defense for Kansas City has been bad all year long.
Okay, so right now, what's the line in the game?
Right now, Indianapolis Colts are +5.5.
All right, so let's be clear. Fezzik is saying, if you agree with him, and remember, his Tuesday line move predictions right here, straight out of Vegas, coast to coast, 10 winners, 2 losers, 1 push. Now, that's amazing. That pick is the Colts. Now, your line moves saying, hey, bet the Colts now, don't wait. The line moves, you've been right 9 times, wrong once, 3 times there hasn't been a line move, which really, whenever you bet it, it didn't matter. So the times it mattered, 90%. So if you do like the Colts because Fezzik likes it, because you like it, whatever, Fezzik's pick should affirm that even more. But on top of that, he's telling you the number you can get now is likely the best number you're going to get. Colts plus the points, Fezzik.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are straight out of Vegas. If you missed any of the show today, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We will be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeart